The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Psalm 34:18. Chapter 1. Lucifer's journey. As the great cat walked along the path, dampness clung. Molds mingling with scent of decaying leaves irritated its nose. He sneezed, the ground beneath him littered with crushed foliage, evidence of many feet that had traveled this way. Exhausted, he lowered himself to the ground, feeling the bones in his body cry out and protest before settling into a dull ache. He lifted his head and sniffed the air, detecting an unfamiliar scent. But instead of giving chase, he closed his eyes and fell into a peaceful slumber. I am Lucifer, now redeemed at home in heaven. I am bored with everyone, gone and nothing to do, no assignment. After all, I'm used to commanding others, but now I wait on Lord Adonai. Not an easy thing for me as I consider Earth where once I was ruler. Needing something to do, I leave and journey to its southern jungle. All the wild animals. How exciting to learn more of these life forms. It should be interesting to see them and the people as I head for the portal for Earth. As I step out of the portal into the dense jungle, the humidity wraps around me, a wet blanket. The ground is alive with crawling, slithering creatures as colorful birds flit through the treetops. I remember a time in the garden, everything was controlled and perfect. But here, in this untamed wilderness, there is a sense of freedom I can't deny. As I continue on, I come across a large cat lying in the shade. Its once sleek black and yellow fur now matted and dull, betray its age. As the cat slips into the comfort of deep slumber, my hand begins to gently stroke its head. Its eyelid slowly opens, revealing a glimpse of an unfamiliar touch. My fingers continue to stroke down its neck and back, scratching at its skin through the thick fur. A deep, rumbling purr unexpectedly escapes from its throat, causing it to stretch and yawn, revealing yellow teeth that are no longer sharp. I feel content in this moment of unexpected pleasure. The cat stretches out on the warm grass, belly exposed. As he rolls over, my hand reaches out and continues to scratch, now its belly. The gentle rumble in its chest grows louder as it enjoys this new attention. His golden eyes snap open, ready to chase after this strange creature that smells like a man, but doesn't quite look like one. Yet, as he takes in the curious scent and senses no danger, his muscles relax and he basks in the moment. Tilda, I sat on a flat boulder, my long fingers tracing the sleek fur of the once majestic tiger resting beside me. As I caressed the creature's back, all of a sudden, a rustle of leaves and I look up to see a pair of dark eyes blinked from the nearby bushes, watching me and the tiger intently. Both my wings rustled slightly and my faces shifted into human form. I smiled and spoke, inviting whoever was hiding to come out. You have nothing to fear. Neither I nor my feline companion will harm you. Though with tigers, one can never be too sure. The boy's voice quavers. It is a tiger who kills, terrified yet intrigued by a human who's not quite human and who's with a tiger. Breath rasps as he breathes in and out, eyes bulge, unable to take in the man beside a tiger. Wrapping his arms protectively around his belly, he squeezes shut his eyes, preparing to leave, to save himself. No doubt his heart races in fear as he waits for the tiger to pounce upon me, then come for him, when nothing happens. His look of astonishment is amusing, but I'm also annoyed, my peace disturbed. What are you doing if afraid of the cat? For someone so small, you should not hunt such a beast. Of course, if you are truly afraid, then return home. I was not hunting the beast but following to see if its life nears the end, as this one's does. His voice trembles. When the tiger dies, I get its teeth. They give me great power. I laugh. What good is power? I can smell your fear as can he, no doubt. What if you met the cat? Would not your fear vanish and courage follow? Would you not then have real power? I taunt the young boy to see what he does. Slowly, he rises from the foliage and cautiously creeps toward me and the tiger. He coughs up the terror clogging his throat as the tiger turns, and a noise like a moose coughing up a stone emerges. The boy stills for a moment. I applaud his courage as he continues to move forward, ready to flee if the cat makes a move. His face pale and gray as the early dawn, he enters the clearing, his heart beating wildly, for I see the pulse in his neck. I see the cat still, and imagines it awaits his approach. His eyes grow wider as he moves closer, ready to flee if the cat makes a move. But one move was all it took of a great paw, and the boy lies still on the ground, a ragged tear in his throat, blood pooling. His eyes open in surprise as his life drains away. The boy lay lifeless on the ground, a stark contrast to the vibrant forest surrounding us. The tiger licks its paw nonchalantly, as though merely cleaning itself after a meal. I stand up from the boulder, my eyes meeting those of the majestic beast. There is a silent communication between us, an understanding that transcends words. As I gaze at the tiger, its golden eyes fixated on me, I reach and stroke its fur gently. The warmth of its body beneath my touch is a comfort, a reminder of the raw power that dwells within its nature. Transfixed and unable to move, for a time, I simply stare, appalled by the cat and himself for what he had done by inviting the boy to engage a deadly animal. The boy's eyes glaze over as the last of life leaves, and his soul departs. I bid the boy farewell as Samuel arrives to escort the young boy on his journey heavenward. The forest seems to exhale around us, the leaves whispering secrets carried by the wind. I mutter an ancient incantation under my breath, offering a prayer for the departed soul of the boy at my feet. His quest for power had led him astray, but in death, perhaps he would find the peace that eluded him in life. Then rage swells at the boy's death, anger at myself for tempting him, and anger at the tiger for doing what tigers naturally do. Yet, my anger at the boy is surprising, because he foolishly listened to this tempter, and I do not feel so heavenly now. As I scowl at the sky, imagining Adone watching and waiting for me as he did long ago. Are you waiting for me to fail? Do you imagine I could truly be a creature of heaven? Is this some test? My face flushes with heat as I rise, chest taut, arms sweep wide, I bare my teeth and glare, daring Adone to forgive this atrocity. My eyes narrow, growing cold and hard as my hands clench tightly. Nails dig into my palms. I pound my fists against my thighs, but it only adds to the tension in my muscles. How dare I imagine I could be what I am not? I muse, my teeth grind together. Will you send me back to take down the one who dares to command in my place? I roll with such intensity even the trees tremble and leaves fall as though in fear. Tilda, Lord, would you like me to interrupt his tirade? Amadeus asks, uncomfortable with Lucifer's actions. Chuckling, Adone says, be at peace. Amadeus is going to figure it out for himself. He'll be okay.